W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump found guilty. I'm Richard Cantu. He's been convicted. Now what? Donald Trump will speak to reporters later this morning after becoming the first former president to be convicted of a felony, 34 counts of falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment over a tryst that might have derailed his White House bid in 2016.
Former President Trump's guilty verdict playing out at a time when Americans are already deeply divided. Presidential historian Mark Updegrove calls it a sobering moment for America, comparing the divisiveness to what we saw during Watergate.
But the big difference was that Richard Nixon resigned because the leaders of his party came to see him, and they urged Nixon to resign the presidency for the good of the country.
Updegrove expects the verdict to further divide the country, no matter whether Trump is sentenced to probation or prison.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. This is ABC News. Another member of a Southern California crew that wanted to start a race war in the U.S. is going to prison.
22-year-old Tibet Ergol was part of a trio which included a then-active-duty Marine who's already been sentenced to 9 years in prison. They used a Molotov cocktail to firebomb a Planned Parenthood clinic in 2022. Nobody was hurt, but the group prosecutors said had a plan to attack other targets, including a power substation and LGBTQ+ Pride Night at Dodgers Stadium, with the goal of creating a race war. Now Ergol has been given 6 years in federal prison.
ABC's Alex Stone. The powerful sister of North Korean leader Kim confirmed the hermit state is bombarding South Korea with garbage, manure, cigarette butts, scraps of clothing, dead batteries, and even reportedly used diapers in sacks attached to large balloons and floated to the south. It's a response to leafleting campaign by South Korean activists. Korea watchers expect more provocations. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google, it says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Clemens.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, we'll check in with Peter and Tracy Flukey live on the road to New York on their tandem bike.
And Christy and Dennis will join us with a weekend What's Up, and we'll feature live music. Don't miss it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 77 for a high this afternoon, with a light breeze out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, few showers, mostly cloudy, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with an isolated thunderstorm, 71. Some clearing by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Mino and the Mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. What do you think the city needs to do?
We need to change the perception of the schools. There is a negative perception about Green Bay Public Schools. I'm just getting into it as a parent. My kid is in kindergarten at McAuliffe on the east side, and I think we need to improve how people view our schools. There's a perception, and I don't know if it's warranted or not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a great time to adopt a pet and help out a Milwaukee animal shelter. On Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller and the debut of a new completely legitimate attack ad. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Well, good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm so glad you're making the Midwest Farm Report part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and here at the Midwest Farm Report, we try to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture. Today, for example, we're hearing from Scott Stump, who's just been appointed to the National FFA's National Work Readiness Council. What does that mean for our future farmers? We'll dig into that in just a little bit. Weather-wise, it may be a little cloudy, but it's going to be staying pretty warm the next few days, so be sure to get outside. We're looking at near 80-degree temps here in Madison and throughout the state. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, has weather details on the way. Have you ever wondered what it takes to keep the field in tip-top shape for the Madison Mallards, or even maybe just a ball field near you? We've got a special feature that'll take you behind the scenes. Plus, we'll get an update from two of our hardworking strawberry growers to see how their season is shaping up. All of those details yet to come.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
National FFA's mission is to make a positive difference in the lives of students by developing their potential for premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agriculture education. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has taken notice. And just recently, they appointed National FFA CEO Scott Stump to the National Work Readiness Council Board. What is this council all about?
The National Work Readiness Council is actually a national nonprofit workforce development training and advocacy organization that was formed originally by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And the council really focuses in on defining the skills needed by workers across all industries, so not just agriculture, but across all of the workplaces of the U.S., to ensure that our American workforce is equipped with the necessary knowledge and skills to meet the demands of an ever-changing job market. And that's no easy task when you start thinking about all communities, both rural and urban and suburban across this nation and across all industry sectors. I'm looking forward to the work.
Why is it so important to get on that board and share your knowledge?
Yeah, I'm excited to bring, you know, my background is, started as a teacher in north central Indiana, but to bring perspectives of the nearly 14,000 agriculture educators who are doing this work on a daily basis in over 9,100 communities across this nation. And I know many of the individuals in Wisconsin are very familiar with, as you said, the difference that FFA makes by equipping students with the leadership, personal growth, and career success skills that we believe sets them apart in the marketplace when they actually do go out to start a business or work for an employer in the industry of agriculture and even beyond. And what I think we bring to the table is nearly 100 years of doing this well, of getting young people equipped with both the technical skills and the, as you put it, soft skills, and that show up on time and make sure that you put in a good day's work and make sure that you are, absolutely working towards the success of the wider business. And, to my knowledge, no one from kind of an agricultural background or position of focus has served on this body before, but Right now, we're 9 million people short in the economy. Employers have jobs that are open and wanting to grow, but they just don't haven't found the right set of skills or the right motivation in individuals to step in to those roles. So now's a critical time for agriculture to be at that table.
And now you are part of this board for National Work Readiness Council, and you're talking a lot about the agriculture part of it. Who are some of the other aspects of the workforce that are represented on this board?
Yeah, so it's a wide variety, all the way from manufacturing and backgrounds in healthcare to adult education, because a part of the focus of this body is not just students that are emerging out of the K-12 system, but also taking adult learners who are ready to re-engage in different ways in the workplace and getting them situated with the skills that they need as well. And so, all the way from manufacturing to health to more commerce, all are represented there.
And now with all this representation, how is your mix and your agricultural background going to be different from the other aspects of this council?
So what I know is that when the Department of Labor looks across the industry, agriculture doesn't necessarily pop out and be thought of. So for instance, here in Indianapolis on the north side, we have a wonderful seed company called Bex Hybrids. But Bex is seen as a manufacturer. And so what I need to do is make sure that as we're looking across labor market information, that those around the table have a shared understanding that agriculture shows up in lots of places, starting on the farm and ranch and then moving all the way through that full food value chain, so that we can make sure that we have the talent pipeline for the industry that's needed.
Well, this National Work Readiness Council must have a lot of goals, more than just filling those spots and providing those workers. With the goal in mind to fill the vacancies out there in the workforce, beyond that, are we working at all on more of the training in that aspect of it?
Absolutely. One of the core responsibilities of the council is to identify the skills gaps and then partner with educational training providers to bridge those gaps. And, the one key that they had been talking about prior to becoming on the council and expansion of this notion around digital fluency and digital skills that are critical for those employees stepping into whatever role across any industry. And so, as we continue to work and do that, then ultimately, the goal is not just with the education training providers, but then also looking at ways that state and federal policies and investments can help support that work to an ever wider number of people.
And supporting that work through investments, are you looking more towards the government to help with that, or are you looking more towards businesses?
There is through the Workforce Innovation Act and through the Federal Perkins Act, which provides funds for all of career and technical education. There are great resources available, but I do think it's going to have to go beyond just a reliance on the government. There will be public and private partnerships with companies and corporate partners stepping into this space to help grow that talent for all industries.
And through the National FFA, we always talk about highlighting the agriculture part of that. I would assume that you're going to be thinking about the agriculture part of businesses, but what about the businesses beyond that? Because agriculture is so wide and vast, those ag kids and those FFA kids seem to fit into other blocks of industries and businesses. Do you think that's something that's going to maybe become more to light once you are on this board?
Yes, I do, and I think it will be able to tell that story of how, yes, while primarily we are trying to create the talent for the agriculture, food and natural resources pipeline, but many of our students do transform their interests into careers that, historically some might have said, hey, that's not directly agriculture, but absolutely, it is connected. My son, for instance, who Raised his own cattle growing up, and is, artificial insemination certified. Now works, he thought he was getting away from agriculture, but he now works for Trimble, which is a geospatial company based out of Denver that, when it comes to the autosteer equipment on tractors and or construction equipment, that's the space that he's working in. And while some might not see Trimble as an agricultural company, they absolutely have a footprint in that space. And so the lines are getting a little blurry of what's ag and what's not.
Well, I think I've known that for a long time, that those lines cross an awful lot between agriculture and businesses and the general public. I am so glad to hear that we have a voice on the National Work Readiness Council in our National FFA CEO, Scott Stump. Great to talk to you and learn a little bit more about what's going to be happening on your board.
Thank you, Jill.
And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Dan Van Lan and Hobart Lawrence Police.
Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream. Right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous. Jimmy, where does the guy
get
that?
Do you have a picture? I don't. That's phenomenal.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9, on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WIS. And on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwaba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a Friday edition. We'll get you ready for the weekend, take a look at some fun things, and talk a little politics along the way. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
For our farmers' sake of getting in the fields, I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Friday morning. And this morning, we're talking about baseball. This is the first year in history that games will be played on artificial turf and not natural grass at the Duck Pond for the Madison Mallards. And the reasoning behind it? Well, some of it has to do with making it easier to transition the field now that they're adding the Madison Nightmare Softball League. So what does it take for these fields now? What does it take to care for them? Will Keeney, Director of Operations of the Madison Mallards, explains what his duties look like.
I try and drag the warning track with our nail drag on our three-wheeler every couple of days. If it's game day, I'll do it every game day. But last year with grass, we were constant water, the dirt in the infield. This year, obviously, we don't have to, so it's pretty minimal. Grass still gets mowed 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's a little bit funky with softball going on. If we have the softball fence in the outfield, obviously, we can't mow. So like I said, still some quirks. We're working through it, but that's the schedule right now.
This change in turf and responsibilities is having a positive impact so far. As Keeney says, it has allowed them to offer even more opportunities for people to be involved.
I think the biggest thing is just the ability to play multiple sports for multiple ages. Being able to flip from, you know, maybe an 11-year-old softball tournament to the next day having the Mallards play. And then the next day you have the Nightmares. And then the next day, 14-year-old baseball. Like, that's different size dimensions and different base paths and everything every day. So the ability to do that with the half turf, half grass is going to be huge for not only us and what we do here at Warner Park, but also the community and everybody around us.
Keeney says he and his team have been working hard to ensure that the ballpark remains in top condition, providing optimal playing surface for the athletes and, of course, for the fans. Their efforts are particularly commendable given our recent weather. And speaking of the weather, it has been unpredictable, throwing curveballs not just at that field management team, but our entire community. So let's talk about it. It's time for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, what can we expect for weather coming up? Any good baseball weather?
Well, I think it might look a little bit better, Stephanie. There's a better chance to see some sunshine and warmer temperatures, too. And I know my neighbors who've got some hay cut here, there, and all over, it seems, they're certainly counting on things to dry out somewhat. Field conditions still very, very wet. Now, there is a low-pressure system still holding a frontal boundary out in the Dakotas, almost where it was yesterday. And we see some rain in western South Dakota, western Nebraska, down to Kansas, but another band scattered just about from the far northwest corner of Wisconsin, just across the river into central and southern Minnesota. We have to expect that northwest Wisconsin will see a little rain chance. Some scattered showers may develop yet a bit later today. That chance of rain, then a scattered shower, maybe a small possibility of a thunderstorm, will slide in from the west. A possibility even trying to build in south central Wisconsin by quite late tonight. In the eastern part of the state early tomorrow. Now, I don't expect this to be a big deal. Rainfall amounts as they develop and as the system moves through pretty quickly may add up to be a tenth of an inch or two. That should be about the extent, not a big threat. The good thing is the mild air stays around, so even after that rain chance dries up a bit, there's going to be some more mild temperatures in the mid and upper 70s. That's more like normal for this time of the year. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Alrighty, Stu, let's hear our weather forecast.
All right, let's look for some sun today. Clouds develop in the west. There could be a sprinkle in northwest Wisconsin later on, but we ought to be in the mid and upper 70s with the south winds about 5 to 10. More clouds and that chance of showers develops and spreads across the state. Not a big deal. A little hit or miss rain. Upper 50s for lows. South winds at 5. Mostly cloudy Saturday, scattered showers, especially developing in the east and central and eastern part of the state through the day. Will end by evening. Skies clearing in the west already tomorrow. Very upper 60s, a low 70 here or there. Southeast breezes at 5 and more sunshine for Sunday, Stephanie. Back in that mid and upper 70 range with south breezes about 5. But I'd say later Monday into Monday night, some rain redevelops again, hopefully staying on the light side.
I will hope so. I've got plans to go to baseball games, actually. I know we were talking about baseball earlier, so that's on my to-do list. That's Stu Muck, everybody, our ag meteorologist, with our Compeer Financial ag weather update on a Friday. Compeer Financial, your financial partner, committed to agricultural and rural America. Find out more about them and find a location near you at compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. You like it here. You're going to stay here. Your kids are young.
Yeah, 6 and 4. Yeah.
Boys or girls?
Boy and a girl.
I sent you a card when you had
Vince. Yeah. Thank you. He sent me a card when I had Vince said, I think Vince. Either your dad or you will be mayor one day of the city. We still have it somewhere, for sure. Yeah.
I love it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, I just don't get it. What was in it for them?
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump found guilty. I'm Richard Cantu. He's been convicted. Now what? Donald Trump will speak to reporters later this morning after becoming the first former president to be convicted of a felony, 34 counts of falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment over a tryst that might have derailed his White House bid in 2016.
Former President Trump's guilty verdict playing out at a time when Americans are already deeply divided. Presidential historian Mark Updegrove calls it a sobering moment for America, comparing the divisiveness to what we saw during Watergate.
But the big difference was that Richard Nixon resigned because the leaders of his party came to see him, and they urged Nixon to resign the presidency for the good of the country.
Updegrove expects the verdict to further divide the country, no matter whether Trump is sentenced to probation or prison.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State education officials are threatening to suspend funding to Wisconsin's biggest school district. Milwaukee officials were supposed to turn over important financial reports 8 months ago. The Department of Public Instruction says Milwaukee school officials have to submit an action plan to avoid having funds cut off. The Madison judge presiding over the latest Act 10 court case appears to have signed a recall petition against then-Governor Scott Walker. Governor Evers says Jacob Frost should not recuse himself.
Well, I don't think so. Recusal is kind of a death knell of judiciary. Let's just let it play out.
Judge Frost could rule to restore union rights that many Wisconsin public workers lost in 2011. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Friday night football for the Badgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers football team will kick off their season with a week one matchup against Western Michigan on Friday night, August 29th on Fox Sports 1 and the Badgers Radio Network. The kickoff at 8 p.m. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on how the team was more aggressive during practices this spring.
In order for us to be in a place to play for a championship, and this is what we have to do on a daily basis. We got to push, and ultimately we got to continue to raise the level of the things that we do.
And the Badgers will finish the regular season against Minnesota on Black Friday, November 29th on CBS. That's a day game, kickoff at 11 a.m. Baseball. The Brewers extended their lead in first place after beating the Chicago Cubs again, this time 6-4. Milwaukee won the series against the Cubs 3-1. Tonight, the Brewers' homestand continues against the White Sox. They have struggled, now 22.5 games out of first place in their division in the American League. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom.
Guilty, 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 guilty. Tune in Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 77 for a high this afternoon with a light breeze out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, few showers, mostly cloudy, 58 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with an isolated thunderstorm, 71. Some clearing by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Federal Court's Fifth Circuit, known for its conservative and sometimes fringe rulings, recently reheard a case from Galveston County, Texas, over whether a community of African Americans and Latinx Americans qualifies for protections under the Voting Rights Act. The court's opinion could further weaken the VRA. Pettaway v. Galveston County, Texas, disputes redistricting of the county's commissioner districts, which civil rights and democracy groups argue took away the opportunity for African American and Latinx American voters to elect the candidate of their choice. In October 2023, a federal district judge agreed with the plaintiffs, quote, "The circumstances and effect of the enacted plan were mean-spirited and egregious, given that there was absolutely no reason to make major changes to Precinct 3," unquote. New maps were ordered, but later stayed by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, with the U.S. Supreme Court concurring. May 13th, the Fifth Circuit reheard the case, this time with the county arguing that the Voting Rights Act doesn't apply to mixed coalitions of voters, only to distinct groups of minority voters. Should the full Fifth Circuit panel agree, it could diminish the voting power of mixed minority communities around the U.S. A U.S. Supreme Court appeal is likely next year, meaning discriminatory maps will be used for the November election. We have links on the case and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Max Inc. Radio.
His voice is a dream. Coming up, Eau Claire musician Brian Bethke joins us live for an in-studio concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rucker, and Jimmy Kay.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Okay.
Strawberry season is nearly ripe for the picking, but the rain can lead to problems even for the most perfect of berries. One farm in West Salem expects to start picking strawberries within the week, which is a bit earlier than normal. While on the other side of the state in Mayville, the story is similar with the early strawberry crop. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. And if you want to hear what a farm has to think about when it comes to producing these products for consumers, well, stick around. Stephanie Hoff has got those stories to share with us before we wrap it up on a Friday. So glad you're along with us. It's looking like we're going to be having some possible rain in our forecast over the next week, but don't let it stop you, as it's still going to be nice and warm. We'll see almost 80 degrees today in Madison, and I know I'm going to be getting outside while I can, so should you. It is the last day of May today, which means June Dairy Month will be in full swing. So to celebrate, I thought it's only right to share some strange yet maybe fun and true dairy facts. So in the medieval times, cheese was sometimes used as a form of currency. Farmers would actually pay their taxes with cheese. Interesting fact there. Another one, did you know that every cow has a unique pattern of spots similar to our fingerprints? No two are the same. This makes it possible to identify individual cows based on those patterns. And on average, a dairy cow can produce about 6 to 7 gallons of milk each day. That adds up to more than 2,000 gallons of milk per year. And now you know. Speaking of farm fresh goodness, let's shift our focus from the barnyard to the berry patch. As we head into the warmer months, there's nothing quite like that sweet, juicy taste of strawberries. Whether you enjoy them fresh, in a dessert, or blended into a smoothie, strawberries are a great treat, but it does take a lot of work to grow them. Stephanie Hoff has the story.
John Jolivet of Jolivet Family Farms in West Salem expects to start picking strawberries within the week, which is a bit earlier than normal. He says the only barrier to a successful season is the rain.
2-3 inches at a time every other day. Today's the first nice day we had for some time. Well, they'll rot if it keeps raining. It keeps on raining while people don't come out and pick, and they rot in the field.
How does this compare to maybe last year when we were pretty dry?
Oh, that works good for us because we have irrigation. We can water when we want to.
With a lot of moisture, you know, rotting is one implication. Do you have to worry about any kind of disease or bugs coming through with this much moisture?
You always got to worry about that one, whether it rains or not.
How long do you expect the picking season to last?
Until after the 4th of July. It's always 5-6 weeks.
John Jolivet predicting a normal season, if not slightly early, as long as the rain can let off so people can pick the strawberries. It's smooth sailing ahead at Jolivet Family Farms in West Salem.
And on the other side of the state in Mayville, the story is similar with the early strawberry crop. Right, Stephanie?
Danielle Clark with Mayberry Farms says that they do not have irrigation, so she does not want to complain about the moisture, but she does say that their 12 acres of strawberries are also ahead of schedule, and the berries are looking good.
We expect it to be early June this year, which is much earlier than traditionally. It's generally around mid-June, about June 14th, June 15th is where we've picked in the past. Last year it was a little bit later because of the drought that we experienced last year. But this year it's going to be early because we are good on moisture and it's been cool. So it's been a great spring.
You're good on moisture, but have you ever felt like you've gotten too much rain at all this year?
You know, we try not to complain about it because what we went through last year was just a very tough and uncertain time for our farm. We don't have irrigation or the ability to irrigate anymore. And so having this amount of moisture, we're not going to complain about it.
With the moisture, though, does that lead to any concerns this year compared to last year when it comes to disease or rot or even weed management?
Absolutely. Those weeds are just loving all the moisture that they can get right now. They are keeping us very busy. And obviously, you know, with the moisture comes, like you said, disease and those concerns. And we are monitoring the fields and the conditions. And everything looks great right now. So we're really happy how things are progressing.
Are you scouting for any bugs?
We're doing everything as we normally would. So there's nothing out of the ordinary. Who doesn't love strawberries? And I guess the bugs are no exception to that either.
And the quality of the berries, you kind of alluded to this earlier. How are they looking?
They look great. The yield is phenomenal. We're really happy. They're seeming, you know, they're starting to size up and we're seeing green, larger berries. Those first berries are the king berries. And so those are the larger sets that are going to produce those nice big berries that everybody loves, but they're in short supply when they come. And after that, we're still seeing nice size green berries coming along in our Jewel, which is our early season variety, and then, or our mid-season variety, I should say, and then AC Valley Sunset, which is our kind of a later season variety.
And then how long do you expect that window to last, your picking window?
We always say it's typically around 21 days, and last year it was a lot longer than that just because we were so dry and things were not ripening as quickly as they normally would. So we're typically wrapped up by the 4th of July when we have a normal year.
Tell me about demand for your strawberries, because I feel like there's just this craze right now for berries. Have you seen that?
It has always been a very good demand. I think we're all just so anxious to get outside right now because we're coming out of winter and then we get into spring, but it's not really quite spring or summer yet. And it's that first real taste of summer that you get that you can pick right out of the field. It's the kids are out of school. It's just a great opportunity to get outside and do something with your family. So we always really do see a good customer demand.
Danielle Clark of Mayberry Farms in Mayville, Wisconsin. They'll soon be kicking off their 8th season of strawberries. She reminds us to check your local strawberry growers' social media, their website, or give them an old-fashioned phone call before you show up. Make sure that they are open for business and that they have product for you. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Whether you're picking them yourself or finding them at a local market, strawberries are a true taste of spring and early summer. Speaking of markets, let's take a moment to shift our attention to the latest numbers. This morning in Chicago, December corn is trading at $4.73, up 2 cents. New crop beans are trading at $11.97¾, up 7¾. And new crop wheat is trading at $7.11½, up 9 cents. June Class 3 milk contract is trading at $19.46, up 10 cents. And July milk is trading at $19.90, up 4 cents. On the way, another crucial aspect of our economy that impacts both farmers and consumers alike, interest rates and inflation. These financial elements play a significant role in shaping the economic landscape. And today, we have insights from Compere Financial coming up next on a Friday.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. If you have ever worked a day in your life or bought something from the store, you have paid taxes and invested in our country. And I'm gonna bet you a truck full of tacos that you have not gotten the full return from that investment. There are a ton of underused government programs, resources, and tax credits out there for taxpayers of all incomes. There's an average of $1,100 out there for every American household. And this is why Work Money, the not-for-profit I run, has set up an all-new resource center. And I would like to note, it is free because we raised some money to do it. Just go to our website at workmoney.org or text or call us at 1-833-WRK-MNEY. It's just work money without the O's. You can chat with a real person who's going to help you figure out what you likely qualify for and how much you could get. This is Carrie Joyce saying, don't leave good money on the table. Till next time, take good care.
Mino and the mayor.
Ben, buddy, it's nice to see you. What do you think the city needs to do?
We need to change the perception of the schools. There is a negative perception about Green Bay Public Schools. I'm just getting into it as a parent. My kid is in kindergarten at McAuliffe on the east side, and I think we need to improve how people view our schools. There's a perception, and I don't know if it's warranted or not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google, it says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. We will be joined by Dr. Lehrman to discuss the mental health crisis in the United States.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Alba Show.
Moore, he's chief risk officer with Compure Financial. Now, stop and think about it. The average farmstead, probably about $1 million in buildings and some land, and then start factoring in cows and equipment. You understand why the numbers get pretty big pretty fast in production agriculture these days. Moore is paying close attention to what's happening as far as dialogue about interest rates, about inflation, and you can't deny the presidential election on the horizon. And what's funny, Bill Moore tells me, depending on who you ask, they have a very different opinion on whether we're in a good position economically or not.
Sure, Pam, good to talk with you. It's funny, I've given a couple of economic speeches over the last month, and I've started them all off by asking the participants to vote with their feet by standing up whether they think the economy is in good shape or bad shape. And interestingly enough, some plus or minus off of 50% stand for each. And it's a really interesting kind of real-time vote counting. And the reality is I think both sides of the equation, those that think the economy is good, those who think the economy is bad, they each have a case to make their position. On the good side, we've got stock markets hitting high. We came off a year of pretty good GDP growth. We avoided a recession in 2023, which is what I was predicting. We have unemployment at really low levels. You know, as you mentioned, farmland values continue to hold value even though interest rates are higher. But the flip side is the bads have a case too. The first quarter saw slower than expected, economic growth. Inflation continues to remain a concern, not only for the average citizen, but even for the Federal Reserve. And, the economy's been really heavily influenced by government spending, which is pretty high, but has been able to keep sort of the economic needle moving forward. So, each spot has an interesting case and can probably could probably put a thesis paper together on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the last time we also talked, Bill, you and I were speculating on what was going to go on with interest rates. And that's not just a U.S. discussion. That's been a global discussion. What are you seeing now? Are you feeling more optimistic about interest rates?
Well, it's funny. I think we talked in December, and at that time, the common consensus was for about 175 basis points of cuts, which would be a little under 2%. We're now at a spot where the inflation number hasn't been kept under control the way people thought it would be. And the Fed has gotten nervous. They've actually tabled a bunch of their interest rate cuts that were expected. And I think Powell came out over the weekend, Chairman Powell, the Federal Reserve, to say that, maybe we might get one at the end of the year. That's one. So that's 25 basis points versus what people thought we were going to get as recently as January. Because I think they are very concerned about trying to keep inflation's, you know, genie in the bottle, is if you want to go to that anecdote, which is really hard. And frankly, inflation has been pretty tough on the average consumer. I was reading the other day that the average price of goods since 2017 has gone up 28%, which really hits you in the wallet. It's good if you're an interest income earner. Your inflows have gone up. So those that have retirement funds, things like that, they've seen asset values help them. But the flip side, if you're an interest borrower, you've seen interest costs go up as much as 72%, which is, you know, nearly, you know, for those that don't want to do the math there, that's nearly doubling. So you've got a real split in this economy as to who's gaining and who's kind of getting held back a little bit.
Well, and obviously that's part of the reason why you saw the 50-50 split on your how good is the economy kind of deal. Bill Moore is along with us, Chief Risk Officer at Compure Financial. So let's do a little bit more deeper dive on this, because it's all about helping people, the listeners, understand the correlation between what goes on with the Federal Reserve, inflation, and like you said, spending habits ultimately impact farmers too, Bill. That's what we're really getting to, is we need to pay attention to that. We need to have some strategies in place no matter which way this goes.
I think that's very, very true. In fact, if you had asked me 2 or 3 years ago, would rising interest rates affect the things like farmland value, I would have said absolutely. And the reality is it hasn't. But you do have to wonder, you know, how much longer can that be maintained? Right now, I would say interest rates are probably going to stay about the same as they are today for the rest of the year, which is bad news for a presidential election if you're the incumbent, because, you know, the presidential administration that's in the White House today would really like to see interest rate cuts, because they'd like to try and spur the economy and get more people in that camp of standing up and saying the economy is good, because no president has actually won re-election in the year they were running if they had a recession. And so Biden has his eye on that pretty closely. But the flip side is you have two potential career legacies at stake. The chairman of the Federal Reserve, Chairman Powell, he doesn't want to be known as the guy who couldn't fight inflation. And so you've got this big battle. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to see a stalemate on interest rates for the rest of the year, but the White House continuing to spend money. So we'll be able to kind of keep the economy rolling. But you can see how it's hitting individual consumers' pocketbooks, because just by where they're buying their food, as an example, you know, supermarkets and big box are not seeing the traffic that they used to see. They're not seeing the spending patterns that they used to see. That money's being spent at, you know, discount stores or other places where, you know, you can buy either in bulk or buy more cheaply. And while we haven't seen a full-on substitution effect from, say, buying beef to pork to chicken or vice versa, chicken to pork, then we might have seen in a downturn in the economy. But we are seeing some of the signs of that.
You know, you alluded to what agriculture needs to keep its eye on relative to interest rates and inflation. You know, if you're selling direct to consumers, you may have already seen your group thin a little bit, to your point, Bill, about everybody watching their pocketbook. What is this? Is inflation impacting what farmers are going to be paying if they want to invest in farmland this fall, or that equipment, or something capital like that, Bill? I mean, really, what if I'm transitioning to the next generation, for heaven's sakes? Tell me a little bit more about what I better be thinking through, not just today, but in the long run.
Yeah, I think inflation is going to be a big part of that. We've seen expenses go up quite a bit. If you, for instance, if you're buying, you know, you're trying to build a pig barn, as an example, the cost of building that now, given the interest cost that would go into that, have made it much, much more expensive than it was even just 3-4 years ago. The farmer themselves is actually having a fairly decent run. It's not as good as it was a couple of years ago, but there are still profits to be had, especially if you have a good marketing plan in place. But the further and further you get away from the farm and the closer you get to the consumer, it has become harder and harder to maintain margins. And we're seeing that in the agriculture sector. The processors and the distributors and those, as you mentioned, like direct to consumer, they're feeling a pinch. Their margins are deteriorating. In some cases, the leverage that they had on has become more expensive than they anticipated it was even just 3 or 4 years ago. And so ultimately that does sort of trickle down through the market to ultimately where, you know, as a farmers, we are commodity growers and commodity sellers. We happen to like the underlying economics of corn and soybeans, but ultimately the cost of your inputs, the cost of your land, your rent, all those things are beginning to eat at margins. While we think they'll probably break somewhere around break even for 2024, that needs to get corrected, you know, one way or another, so the profits could be had again.
Bill Moore, along with us, with excellent insights on what's happening as far as the fiscal policy is concerned, the presidential influence on some of this, and how it ultimately impacts your bottom line on your farming operation. Bill Moore, Chief Risk Officer at Compure Financial. Always remind you, they've got great resources online right now you can tap into anytime that you can't sleep because of the conversation topics we discussed. Compure.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Mino and the Mayor.
Dan Van Lannen, Hobart Lawrence Police.
Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream, right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous. Where's the guy get that?
Do you have a picture?
I don't. That's phenomenal.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9, on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
A long list of threats to pollinators, there's changing climate. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Bees and other insect species that act as plant pollinators face many challenges as they try to do their jobs. Margarita Lopez Uribe, an entomologist at Penn State University, lays them out.
Decrease in nutrition, lower availability of flowers because there is loss of habitat for bees, in combination with greater exposure to insecticides due to the proximity to agriculture, can make bees, for example, more susceptible to pathogens and pests, and how all of these interactions can be exacerbated by changing climate.
Lopez Uribe says pollinators service about 70% of crops worldwide, and 30% absolutely depend on them. What can be done to protect them? Lopez Uribe lists three things: plant more flowers, reduce food waste, and...
For pollinators, it's very important to minimize the use of pesticides, right? We need pesticides to control pests, to control pathogens in agriculture, but they should be used responsibly. And so learning to read labels and for pesticides, applying more is not necessarily better.
There's a link to more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
The verdict is in. I'll take you through each of the 34 charges in detail. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? to show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is a special report from ABC News.